Today's podcast sponsor is Blinkist. Blinkist is the only app that takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes. Not only can you read them in 15 minutes, you can also listen. I love listening to the Blinkist app when I'm working out. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer for the ordinary vegan community. Go to Blinkist, BLINKIST.com/ordinary vegan to start your free 7-day trial. Hope you enjoy it as much as I do.
You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, number 52. Today, we are going to focus on some simple ways you can help the environment right now. Because Earth is where we all live, and a clean environment is essential for healthy living and for our future. I don't want to depress anybody today, but honestly, things are pretty dire, and it's up to all of us to take immediate action. If we haven't met, my name is Nancy Montori, and I advocate a vegan diet for health and wellness, for animal welfare, and for the environment. I appreciate all of you so much, and as always, thank you so much for being here. If you get a minute, please write a review on iTunes, because the more reviews this podcast receives, the better chance of iTunes helping spread this plant-based podcast. Before we get talking about all the actions we can take right now to save the planet, I want to mention some very good news. The magazine, The Economist, voted 2019 the year of the vegan. Yay! And here in the United States, we actually have a vegan running for president of the United States. I never want to get political here, but how about that? That kind of news gets people's attention and interest in a vegan diet, so it is very good news. Now, let's talk about the environment. A new report making the rounds is called the Eat Lancet Commission on Food, Planet, and Health. The commission brings together more than 30 world-leading scientists from across the globe to reach a scientific consensus that defines a healthy and sustainable diet. The independent scientists receive no financial compensation, and all costs were covered by the Wellcome Trust Fund. EAT is an independent nonprofit organization based in Norway. At any rate, this is a very honest, independent report. In a nutshell, what that report revealed was, if we don't make a radical change in diet and food production, we could be facing catastrophic damage to our planet Earth. Here is a quote from that report. Global food production threatens climate stability and ecosystem resilience, and constitutes the single largest driver of environmental degradation and transgression of planetary boundaries. The report continues, taken together, the outcome is dire. The report promotes diets consisting of a variety of plant-based food with low amounts of animal-based foods, refined grains, highly processed foods, added sugar, and saturated fat. They also said, the food we eat and how we produce it determines the health of people and the planet. And we are currently getting this seriously wrong. No surprise, the report calls for the sharpest dietary changes in the USA. The report says that U.S. citizens need to reduce their red meat consumption by 84% on average, while eating six times more beans and lentils. In Europe, people need to reduce meat intake by 77% and eat 15 times more nuts and seeds. They are calling this way to eat the planetary health diet. I have done a couple of podcasts on how our diets impact the planet, but today I want to talk about other human activities that contribute to climate change. Every single one of us has some form of impact on the environment. But there are some things most of us do every day that we don't even realize are bad for the planet. And here's the reason we need to do this right now. In November 2018, the National Climate Assessment Report was released and showed that climate change has already had devastating impacts on our health and our economy. The costs could mount to hundreds of billions of dollars by the end of the century. Not only that, our world is getting warmer. The report says that if global warming continues at the rate it is going, up to 5 billion will face in an entirely different climate in 2050. For example, Los Angeles experienced its hottest summer in 2018 with temperatures topping at 117 degrees. If we don't aggressively cut greenhouse gas emissions by 2050, the temperature in Los Angeles could be 122 degrees. That record heat of 2018 in Southern California contributed to longer and more severe fires across the state and cost billions of dollars. So can you imagine in 2050, if the earth is 2 degrees warmer, how bad fires will be across Southern California? Climate change also affects rainfall. Rainfall is more difficult to predict than temperature, but a warmer atmosphere can hold more moisture, meaning the volume of precipitation is likely to increase by 1 to 2% per degree of warming. The parts of the world that are already wet are likely to get much wetter. The dry regions are likely to get much drier. The internationally renowned naturalist Sir David Attenborough says that climate change is the greatest threat to the world in thousands of years and could lead to the collapse of civilizations and the extinction of much of the natural world. He called it a man-made disaster. The Environmental Defense Fund says the Earth's tipping points, meaning the point at which a series of small changes or incidents become significant enough to cause a larger, more important change in our environment, are disappearance of Arctic summer sea ice. As the planet warms, sea ice melts and exposes dark ocean waters that reflect sunlight less efficiently. This decreased reflectivity causes a reinforcement of Arctic warming. Some scientists have suggested that we have already passed this tipping point, predicting that Arctic summers will be ice-free before mid-century. The next tipping point is the collapse of coral reefs. Healthy corals maintain a symbiotic relationship with the algae that provide their primary food source. As oceans warm and become more acidic, these algae are expelled from their corals in a fatal process called coral bleaching. Research predicts that most of our remaining coral systems will collapse even before a global temperature rise of 2 degrees Celsius. If coral reefs disappear, so do the habitats in greater ecosystems that they support. And 25% of fish species depend on coral reefs. And losing such an essential part of the ocean environment could have rippling effects and cause a much broader collapse. And by the way, we have already lost half of the Great Barrier Reef. The next tipping point is the disintegration of the West Antarctic ice sheet. The bottom of this ice sheet lies beneath sea level, allowing warming ocean waters to slowly eat away at the ice. If this ice sheet fully collapses, it could result in sea level rises of up to 16 feet. The same goes for the melting of the Greenland ice sheet. I know you might be feeling overwhelmed by all this bad environmental news, but there are large and small changes we can make to help preserve the health of our planet. Before we discuss the positive things we can do, I would like to thank my sponsor, Blinkist. Almost none of us have time to read everything we'd like to read, and that's where Blinkist comes in. Blinkist is an app that takes the best key takeaways and need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes. And you don't have to just read them. You can listen to them instead and multitask. They also have a great selection of books on today's subject, the environment. Imagine learning lots of great information in 15 minutes. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer for the Ordinary Vegan community. Go to Blinkist.com/ordinaryvegan to start your free 7-day trial. That's Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, .com/ordinaryvegan to start your free 7-day trial. Now, let's talk about some positive steps we can do to tackle climate change. The first thing I want to mention is plastic. Did you know that less than 10% of the plastic you put in your recycling bins gets recycled? According to National Geographic, mass production of plastic, which began just 60 years ago, has grown so rapidly that even the scientists who set out to conduct the world's first tally of how much plastic has been produced, discarded, burned, and put in landfills were horrified by the sheer size of the numbers. Plastic became profitable because it was cheap to make, but not profitable enough to make new products from used plastic. Additionally, the market for recycled plastic doesn't work because different types of plastic have to find each other to be recycled. I know we have all invested in a set of canvas bags for shopping, but take a look around your home and observe all the plastic in your life. We live a life of convenience. We use plastic forks and spoons for takeout, Ziploc bags and plastic wrap for storage. So much of our food comes packaged in plastic, like almond milk and tofu, and even our toothpaste is in plastic. Imagine all that plastic that ends up in landfills and takes more than 400 years to degrade. For more than 20 years, China has been the world's recycling bin, accepting enormous quantities of recycled waste. But last year, China told the World Trade Organization that it would no longer take anyone's trash. Now trash is piling up by the ton with no one having a clue of what to do with it. So where does our trash go? The answer differs from state to state, but the majority of our waste does not get recycled and ends up in the dump, including all the plastic we use in our home. And if you ever saw a landfill, you would think twice about all the waste we accumulate. The environmental impact of landfill sites varies depending on how well they're managed and resourced. However, typical problems include the contamination of soil and groundwater from toxic residues, the release of methane, a greenhouse gas produced during the decaying process that is more potent than carbon dioxide. Also, over 100,000 marine animals and 1 million birds die from ingesting and choking on plastic. So how to give up plastic starts with little things, like saying no to plastic straws. Did you know we use more than 500 million plastic straws every day? If you prefer a straw, there are great alternatives such as bamboo, glass, and steel straws that you can carry with you and use them over and over again. We must stop using plastic cutlery. When you get takeout, you will automatically be given a set of plastic fork, plastic knife, and plastic spoon. Before you take your food, make sure you ask for no plastic cutlery. If you do a lot of takeout for work, bring your own forks, knives, and spoons from home. Next is using reusable shopping bags when you go grocery shopping. I am sure most of you are on board with that, and think how easy it became to do it. All these suggestions today can be just as easy. It's just a habit. If you buy something in a store that uses plastic bags, never ever take a bag and tell the merchant that you hope they stop using plastic bags. Small retailers will listen. Never buy water in plastic bottles. Every photograph I saw of landfills were full of plastic water and soda bottles. Only buy water in glass bottles and always use a reusable, refillable water bottle and carry it around with you. Pack your leftovers and lunch in glass containers and never buy plastic containers for storage. Always choose cardboard over plastic when you can. Cardboard can be more easily recycled and, unlike plastic, will biodegrade over time. The next time you buy a toothbrush, buy a bamboo toothbrush. 1 billion plastic toothbrushes are thrown out every year, creating about 50 million pounds of waste a year. Avoid snacks and foods with excess packaging. For example, I used to buy popcorn that came in individual plastic bags that were housed in a large plastic bag. I don't do that anymore. Choose metal over plastic razors. When you need to replace kitchen tools, choose bamboo. Cutting boards, spatulas, and spoons are generally very easy to find in bamboo. And bamboo grows quickly, and bamboo fields use very little space to yield a productive crop. If it is plastic, always think twice. Think, can I buy this in non-plastic form? Or if you're buying food in a plastic container, can you buy a different brand that is in glass? Glass bottles and jars are 100% recyclable and can be recycled endlessly without any loss in purity or quality. I recommend reaching out to your favorite brands and asking them to rethink their plastic packaging. Plastic is everywhere, and if we all make a conscious effort to try not to use it, we can really make a difference and feel proud of our contribution to the planet. The next thing is coffee. Did you know the coffee industry is one of the most destructive agricultural industries on the planet? Only by organic shade-grown coffee. Shade-grown coffee works within the natural ecosystem. According to the Smithsonian Migratory Bird Center, shade-grown coffee is bird-friendly and offers habitat for 180 species of birds. Conserve energy by walking, riding your bike, or taking public transportation. Turn off the lights and unplug appliances and chargers when you're not using them. Conserve water by cutting back on shower time and don't leave the water running while brushing your teeth or washing dishes. Use reusable products or stop borrowing and sharing items with your friends and family. My girlfriends and I bought party plates about 10 years ago, and when anyone has a party, they use that one set of plates. I know it's fun to have the latest iPhone, but try not to purchase the latest electronics. Use the ones you have until they are unusable. Consumer electronics create an immense amount of waste, and they are piling up in landfills. Next is probably one of the hardest things to do. Learn to live with less. Conscious consumption. Address the beginning of the trash cycle so less ends up in landfills. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned the Netflix series Tidying Up. In that show, Marie Kondo goes to people's homes and teaches people how to tidy up and get rid of things that don't bring them joy. What if we applied that to the new stuff we buy? I am not recommending being a minimalist, but if you are like me and you take a trip to Target and end up walking out of the store with much more stuff than you plan to buy, you are not practicing conscious consumption. Try to figure out your temptations and avoid them. It could be as simple as taking more time before making a purchase online. It is so easy to buy anything on the internet. When purchasing something online, make a decision to come back to it in a couple of days and see if it is still important to you. Opt out of mailing lists from your favorite stores to reduce temptation. Think of the money you will save. I don't know about you, but I love spending money on experiences like a vacation. If you really want to take your conscious consumption to the next level, buy secondhand clothing at thrift stores. Vast amounts of chemical fertilizers and pesticides that pollute and deplete soil is needed for cotton to grow. From wastewater emissions to air pollution and energy consumption, one plain cotton t-shirt weighs heavily on the environment. The most sustainable clothing you can buy is made from my favorite plant, hemp. Hemp naturally suppresses weeds and decreases the outbreak of insects, so chemicals are not needed. The hemp plant is considered regenerative because it rebuilds and conditions soil by replacing organic matter and providing airflow through its robust root system. Hemp also needs less water to grow than other plants, thanks to its ability to thrive in dry soils. Last but not least, hemp reduces carbon in the atmosphere. Lush plants like hemp with lots of leaves pull more carbon and return it to the soil. The last thing I want to recommend is that you need to let your government officials know that clean air, clean water, and our food supply are essential for our personal health and well-being, and that our environment is the key for existence of life on Earth. The environment is an important issue and needs to be addressed immediately. Demand that our elected officials take action on climate change. That's it for today's podcast. If you have any additional tips on how we can save the planet, reach out to me and I will share them with all of you. You can find today's show notes, my recipes, and my organic vegan CBD oil made from my favorite plant, hemp, at ordinaryvegan.net. CBD oil is helping people with pain, anxiety, depression, sleeplessness, and giving people an overall sense of well-being, focus, and clarity. All CBD oil is not created equal, and my goal is to provide you with the best CBD oil on the market. Thanks, everyone. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.